to speak of God. In the same style, John, in his prologue, and perhaps he's drawing on an Alexandrian Jewish hymn to God's wisdom here, John is speaking of the person of God himself under the aspect of bringing into existence what he in his wisdom has willed. So he speaks of the Word of God in personal terms. Granted this, an appropriate English translation would be he rather than it. At the same time, and here's the point why I'm going into all this, we have become so used to identifying the personal Word of God and Jesus of Nazareth that when we read he in the prologue, we immediately think of Jesus in the flesh, a human Jesus, Jesus whom we have watched and touched with our hands. And John doesn't want us to identify the personal Word, John does want us to identify the personal Word with Jesus, and this is the precise intent of the hymn. But, as is clear from verse 14, not with Jesus in the flesh till the end of the hymn. And so it seems to me that John's meaning is brought out more clearly if we avoid the pronoun altogether. And my intention in the text I'm going to use is to keep using the substantive, the noun, all the time. And I'm underlining it wherever the noun replaces the pronoun. So I couldn't possibly be changing the meaning of it, and I'm avoiding that he-it dichotomy. Do you follow my reasoning? So that's a bit tortuous, but that's my initial kind of idea for you. Let's now simply read the text first, and then I want to comment on it. I'll just read it simply straight through. It's the prologue of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was towards God, and the Word was God. The Word was towards God in the beginning. By means of the Word, all things came to be. Nothing has come to be without the Word. That which came to be in the Word was life, and that life was the light of mankind, a light that shines in the dark, a light that darkness could not overpower. The Word was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens all mankind. The Word was in the world, and the world came into being by means of the Word. Yet the world did not know the Word. The Word came to the Word's own domain, and the Word's own people did not receive the Word. But to all who did receive the Word, the Word gave power to become children of God. All who believe in the name of the Word were born not of human stock, not of earthly desire, not of man's will, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld the glory of the Word, full of grace and truth. From the fullness of the Word we have all received, yes, grace against the background of grace. The law was given by means of Moses. Grace and truth came by means of Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known. Let's begin with the end of that text. The last verses locate us in the early church, in John's community. They locate us the experience of that community out of which the hymn grew, and the experience is, from the fullness of the word we have all received grace against the background of grace. John's community had experienced the fullness of God's gracious presence in their community life, healing, converting, forgiving, filling them with prayer in which they could pray to God, helping them go through darkness and persecution and still have some consolation and some hope and some direction and all that we know the Christian life to be in its all its complexity. And he saw this as a marvelous gift that was acknowledged in his community. And the law came through Moses, and that was a lovely gift. And it's against the background of the law, as it were, that Christianity stands out in high relief, like a flower against a trellis. It stands out, and what stands out is that however beautiful the law was, what the early church experienced was grace and truth. And they came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth, of course translating Greek words, but the concepts behind them are the Hebrew concepts of chesed and emet, those common words used of God. The covenant love of God and the fidelity of God they had really experienced through this Jesus, whom we're asking, who is he? Concludes the text. No one's ever seen God. That's obvious. I hope it's obvious. It's basic. We don't experience God as an object the way we experience each other. We don't see God. The only begotten Son, or the only begotten God, depending on the variant text, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known. So the end, I think, is simple and doesn't require much clarification, is the experience of Jesus that they had of him, and the experiences in the early church of receiving the fidelity and the comfort and grace of God and coming to know God through this Jesus. But let's go back now to the beginning of this prologue. The prologue begins at the beginning of creation. It's a historical journey through with the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was towards God, and the Word was God. The Word was towards God in the beginning. I think what we've got there is God, as one of the Psalms says, deep calls unto deep. In the beginning God said, let there be light. So the Word of God, God first communicated with us in that creative act. Everything is an expression of God in some way. And what was created, the Word that spoke, was actually reflected back to God at the very heart of creation, was towards God, as though God called into being a creation which was made for God, which we know to be true, which called back to him, which spoke back to him. It's the cry emerging from the groaning that Paul talks about in Romans 8, of all creation groaning in one great act of giving birth. And it's the longing, as it were, the evolutionary longing, surely, where the whole earth and world is in process of calling back and working back, as it were, to the one who brought it into being. And this is a divine process, that there is only God, and that everything that God made and somehow is made in his image and somehow participates in the being of God. The God, hoteos, the word is theos, divine. It's God matter, it's God-like, it's a God reflection, it's a participation in the very being of God. And so we've got this image of a creation made by God and for God, and the Word is the communication, the Word of God to us, and the Word back in prayer, the Spirit in our hearts crying to the Spirit of God image. That's the first little verse. That's a lovely image, I think. And John even makes it lovelier in the second part, reflecting now on this Word of God. Through the Word, all things came to be. Nothing has come into being without the Word. Now that's a profoundly Jewish and profoundly Catholic attitude. It's extraordinarily at the heart of our faith, but it's a magnificent statement that cuts right across all the dualist philosophies and the things that keep invading all genuine religion, like there's good and there's bad, and some things come from the Word of God and some things don't. Some things come from some evil kind of source. No, this hymn recognizes that everything that is comes through the Word of God. Nothing that exists doesn't come from the Word of God. So everything is basically good. Now, third step. When the Word was spoken, what happened? That which came to be in the Word was life. A real Johannine text. I've come that you may live and live to the full. What God created was life. And it's life that is the light of mankind. Not commands stuck away in some little esoteric little book to be found out. Not some wisdom of our own kind of making that requires enormous intellectual penetration. Life is what we've got to test things by. That's the criteria. That's the sign. That's what gives us light. If something's alive, then we know it's right. A marriage, a humanity, a person, a child, a flower, a community. Life is the light. And the light of life that God willed for our world and poured into it shines in the dark, and the darkness couldn't overpower it. That's the first section of the prologue, and I think it's a fairly simple one, and it's basically about creation. There's already, however, hovering in it, or beginning in it, the dark mystery element of darkness. John then goes on now into history. Verses 9 to 13. The Word was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens all mankind. So the Word is constantly coming into the world. Every time a child is conceived, every time anyone speaks a word of truth, any time anything comes that reveals the constant creation of God, the constant involvement of God. They had no idea of God not being involved in the world in the Jewish concept, thank God. The Word was all the time coming into the world and kept enlightening us. But what happened? Now we're into history. The Word was in the world, all over the world, and the world came into being through the Word, wouldn't be otherwise, yet the world didn't know the Word. Strange inability of the human to recognize the Word that's spoken. The world was distracted from it. We're getting into the whole area of sin now. The world was locked away from it almost. Somehow, even though the darkness couldn't overcome the light was not penetrating a lot of the darkness. And the world didn't recognize, didn't know. So what happened? The Word then, says the Jewish John, came to the Word's own domain, and he means the Holy Land, Jerusalem. And the Word's own people, the chosen people, so-called, the sons and daughters of Abram, didn't receive the Word. You can find an exact equivalent of that text in the book of Ecclesiasticus, written 200 years before Jesus, 200 BC, in fact, a little bit more than 200 years, where he speaks about the Word searching for somewhere to pitch the tent, his tent, and then it says, I will pitch my tent in Israel. And he saw the Word of God being welcomed in Israel, and he saw the Torah as the perfect expression of God's Word, revealing God's will, and finding a home here. And John, in the light of what he'd experienced in Jesus, in the light of the way Jesus had exposed Pharisaism and so on, and the Jewish institution of his day, John had to admit that the very chosen people themselves, for all their perhaps triumphalism or perhaps gratitude, and I suppose a mixture of both, even they didn't receive it. They killed the prophets and so on. But then John recognises, of course, that some did receive the word. Some, I presume, among the word's own people, and some in the world itself. There are always people who are receiving the word, and he speaks of them. And one can think of Abraham himself, or Moses, or David, or Zechariah, or Simeon, and one could think of people, no doubt, in all cultures of the world. To all who did receive the word gave power to become children of God. All who believe in the name of the word, that means the power of the word, what the word can do. All who believe that were born not of human stock. So it's nothing to do with being a son of Abraham or a daughter of Abraham. It's nothing to do with belonging to a certain group that automatically means you're right. No, it wasn't human stock. It wasn't flesh, the sarkos, the earthly desire. It wasn't ambition. It wasn't people climbing up the Tower of Babel to make their own heaven. It wasn't a matter of ambition that comes from our own needs. It wasn't man's will that brought it about. It was God. And they responded to God, these saints of our world, but they were born of God. It was God's life that they were receiving and not their own making. And now we come to the climax. So far, I think the hymn is not so difficult. It's fairly straightforward. And now we come to the extraordinary claim and the topic of tonight's lecture. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and pitched a tent, dwelt among us, says John. And we beheld the glory of the Word, glory as of an only begotten of a Father, full of grace and truth. And that's the deepest statement in the whole of the New Testament about who Jesus is. That's our topic for tonight. It's the most profound poetic leap into infinity to try to come to find words to say who he is. And look at it again. The Word, that's the Word that said, let there be light, the Word that came through the prophets, the Word that came into the world all the time, every time anything was created. The Word that keeps coming into the world and enlightening the world, God himself as communicating himself to creation, the Word became flesh. Now that's John at his most beautiful and most incredible, and flesh means Isaiah 40 verses 6 to 8 is a good text for the meaning of flesh in Jewish understanding. All flesh is grass, its beauty like the wild flowers. The grass withers and the flower fades when the breath of Yahweh blows on them. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God remains forever. God's word is one thing, God's self-communication. Flesh is the broken humanity, the decaying world, the world of change and time and place and space, and the world of weakness and the world of clay. Unto dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And they knew someone who was flesh, who was weak, died on a cross, wept, hungry, thirsty, not knowing, searching, pained, hurt, searching, failing, struggling. Of course, incredibly sinless, that's another matter, but that's this flesh person who dwelt among us, whom they actually touched and handled and saw and everything. And matter of fact, we'll look at that text in a moment. And they saw in Jesus of Nazareth, we can't lose that, in the flesh, that's where they saw, what God had been saying all the time through the whole of history and the whole of nature and the whole of creation. Now he's saying it in human words, in the broken accent of Galilee, in the limited but really rooted in history, powerful statements and weak statements, but revelatory statements of Jesus. That's where they came to see the Word revealing itself, himself, finally to us. And the whole glory of who God really is in his self-communication was identified by them, focused for them, the focal word. They looked to Jesus to see what the Word had meant all that time. And what they saw was the covenant love of God and the fidelity of God most movingly and powerfully presented to them. The Word that they knew is the Word that